Hey, everybody. It's episode 75 of the Big Planet Comics Podcast.
That's Celebrate. A crazy idea.
Celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been 75 episodes. We'll talk about that in a second here. But as always, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, Tumblr, and give us reviews on iTunes. We'd like them.
Yeah, please.
Please.
I like hearing from you guys.
Why not?
Yeah. My name's Kevin.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jared.
Yeah. So it's episode 75, you guys.
Woo!
Yeah,
it's been out. That's how it goes, right? I don't know, we were gonna try to do something special for this episode, but we could not think of anything to do.
But we did it, so sorry you guys couldn't make it.
Yeah, we're live right now.
Woo.
There's nobody here. We forgot
it's very
to invite
cold
people.
And dark.
Yeah, so should we talk about, I don't even know what to say about the fact that it's the 75th episode. You guys have favorite moments from the history of the podcast?
It's kind of a blur.
I think our live episode was a lot of fun.
Still the best.
Yeah.
Still great.
Yeah, and we're going to do one of those for episode 100, definitely. So,
which is what we said for 75. Check back in roughly half a year.
This time, super definitely.
Super definitely, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's about it. I think that's all of our favorite things. We got a bunch of questions and news and reviews for this episode, so that's
gonna be crazy.
Is that special? I don't know. Sure,
it's special to you.
Special enough. So what have you guys been up to?
Chirp. Been playing pinball a lot all day.
Loving it.
Virtual pinball.
Yeah,
our pinball place that we like to go to around here closed down.
No, so that's John's
sad.
Place.
Yeah, John's place closed down.
That's like legendary. I tell people about
so
it.
So sad.
Yeah, well, don't tell them about it anymore.
What? Is it like gone? What did it become?
I don't know if it became anything. It just shut down.
Where'd all those pinball machines
at
do?
The same time the pinball museum closed?
Yeah, the one in Baltimore.
What?
Yeah, and it's like
what?
They're gonna move it somewhere.
Oh, okay. God, I still haven't been up there.
Yeah,
these are sad news.
There's nowhere to play pinball right now.
Yeah,
I'm DC's on the skids.
Yeah, so that's kind of sad. But
wow,
yeah, that's
thank God for Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, that's where Nick is. He's on his PlayStation 3.
Okay, tell me some good news, Kevin. That was rough.
I don't know. We had a fun birthday party for our friend Julian. Happy birthday,
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was fun.
That was awesome.
A bunch of people. It was crazy. It was good.
There were French fry cookies.
Yeah. There were definitely, I made him, it was like a burger and fries themed thing, so I made,
sold.
I made like cookies and cut them up like French fries and put them in little cases, and our friend Coleman drew like a little picture of Julian and made him the Burger Baron, and then we made little burger cupcakes. It was crazy.
It was delicious.
That's how we party. Yeah, so we do have a lot of stuff to get through, so should we just jump into
some
questions.
Yeah, let's do some news. Here we go.
This just in, Comixology crashes.
No! It's true.
So, if you haven't been paying attention, the Marvel announced that they were going to release 700 number one issues on Comixology for free for 2 days. Everybody decided to get all of them. So, the sure. server almost immediately crashed. And it took a few days to come up, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and so they decided to end the
no Comixology for a few days because of that?
Yeah, there was no Comixology for a few days, and then they decided to cancel the Marvel promotion. And they said they're going to do it in some other different way, but yeah, I think everybody was just on there like, I'm going to download 700 comics for free.
Sure.
And then the servers were like, eh.
Yeah, especially, I feel like they should have stretched it out a little more, like maybe a month or a week.
Maybe.
Then like a 700 over a month, like every day turn in for like another 10 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, in ways this is bad because it's like, you know, people are like, hey, where are all my comics? But then in the other way, it's like, hey, you know, this was like a really popular thing. And so a lot of people did it. So it's a little bit of bad press, a little bit of good press, I guess. But
true.
I'm sure Marvel's not too happy about it.
Yeah. That'll teach them.
Also, this week, DC announced that Justice League of America number one was their biggest selling book since 1996.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy. That's we talked about
like the height of comics.
Yeah, how numbers were back up to the 1997 levels on last episode, and then it ends up that it's happening with like individual comics as well.
I feel like this is really deceptive.
You think because of all gimmicks?
Because of the cover price?
Because I think, not just the cover price, I think it counted all the variants too. And there were probably a lot of people. I know we had at least one person that bought all 52 covers. And so I'm assuming around the country, you know, like tons, that happened at least like another 100 times at least.
Still sales are sales though, right? I mean, if they sold.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right, but then issue two.
Well, yeah, I think it'll still sell pretty well. Sure, but yes, but sure, it won't do those like same numbers. Right. Yeah, that doesn't mean that it has the most readers of any comic since 1996. But it does mean it sold
a lot
more dollar amount for sure. Yeah.
One of the things they used to calculate way back like in the 40s and 50s was like read through, where it'd be like the kid would buy the comic and then pass it to his friend, to his friend, to his friend. So it'd be like five kids read this one bought issue or something. So
yeah, I know. You know, Greg, who works at the other store, has a lot of contacts in Norway, and I know one of the publishers there said basically they sell something like 600,000 Donald Duck comics, but it gets read by like 6 million people because it gets passed around so much.
It's amazing.
I don't think that happens as much here because most people, you try to give them a comic, and they're like, "What? No.
No,
I don't know, what is this?"
And then people are like, "How am I supposed to read it? It's locked up in this Mylar slab."
They're like, "What is Transformers Prime Rage of the Dinobots? I don't want to read this."
Where's issue one? I'm not starting at issue two.
Yeah, exactly.
So in other DC news, DC announced that the next arc of Scott Snyder's Batman is going to be Batman Zero Year.
Because
or Year Zero? I'm not sure.
It's called Zero Year. I think they purposely didn't call it Year Zero because they didn't want it to be compared to Year One.
Right. Too late.
So, yeah, they're doing a storyline about Bruce Wayne becoming Batman, which sounds cool, except like for
one.
The fact that it's 11 issues.
Yeah, it's 11 issues long, which is...
like Long Halloween, but a little shorter.
Which is crazy, because the one thing about it is, like, is he going to be Batman in it at all?
I think so.
If it takes place before he becomes Batman?
Well, they said it's about him building the Batcave and all this stuff. They're saying basically
11 issues of construction teams and like, oh man, we got to
the logistics of like transporting a giant like coin. In
That dinosaur statue will just not fit. Make the hole bigger.
So, I mean, basically what they said was like, you know, this is not going to be retelling Year One or changing Year One. This will be the stuff before that.
Well,
so, I don't know. I feel like it's maybe the stuff that was covered in Batman Begins.
Yeah, I was about to say, if they hit more of like him traveling the world and like learning how to detect stuff and become a ninja,
that
would be amazing.
I'm sure it'll be great. Scott Snyder has been doing pretty great. It's kind of weird though that like the main Batman book for like almost a year will not have be anything like none of it will take place in current continuity.
I was thinking
they're changing the title to Bruce Wayne.
What?
Number 17.
It'll be like that TV show, The Waynes. You guys remember that show that did not happen?
No. Or was it The Graysons?
Well, maybe it was The Graysons.
They are changing the book to Batman and Red Robin for the next issue.
Then the issue after that will be something else.
Batman and Batgirl, Batman and blah, blah.
So who knows?
Batman and
maybe
Vibe.
It will be Bruce Wayne, soon to be Batman.
I'm waiting for Batman and Vibe, for sure.
And then you said there's a Pandora book coming out,
too? Oh, yeah. DC also announced that they're releasing a Trinity of Sin, Pandora.
Did we talk about this on the last episode?
Not that I know of. No.
And the new book,
I wasn't paying attention.
Batman Superman, which is going to be drawn by Jay Lee.
Yeah.
Oh.
And something else, I can't.
The weird thing is that this Pandora book is like, it's called Trinity of Sin, Pandora, which is like a really stupid long title. But also, they're changing the title of Phantom Stranger to Trinity of Sin, Phantom Stranger.
Nice.
The news there to me is that Phantom Stranger is an ongoing series.
Yeah.
I assumed it was a
mini
series.
And I guess people are, I don't know if excited is the word,
that
speculating
is not the word.
That there will be a Trinity of Sin question series. But
question what?
Either way, I don't really care.
All right.
I feel like...
Pandora was like what it seemed like to me was like their backdoor, like their way out of the New 52.
Oh, Pandora's the pink lady.
Yeah, that's the pink lady. Also a popular drink.
Well, she's
in like the 50s.
She's a big part of the New 52 event, whatever, like Trinity War. So I guess like that's going to be running parallel to that. Which I was like,
I'm getting sleepy. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna go back though.
It's such an uninteresting thing to me. I don't know.
It's not the most exciting thing, but you know, whatever. It's an announcement.
It's a thing. I don't even remember who's writing and drawing it. Anyway,
we've talked about it.
Yeah. So that's the news.
That's it.
Yeah. We have a bunch of viewer mail.
Thanks for getting in touch, people.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should do that, shouldn't
we? Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, so let's jump right into this. Our first question is from Marcus Davis. This one's going to be for Nick because I know he's up on this series. He says, can I hear your thoughts on Morning Glories? Personally, I think it's the best comic that's currently being released, and I'd love to hear what you guys think of it. I am not caught up on Morning Glories. I think I read through the first two trades.
Yep.
And, so basically, for people that don't know, it is about a group of kids that are at kind of almost like an X-Men type school.
Yeah, but like almost against their will.
Yeah, and so they're being held there, and they all kind of have these powers.
And there's a lot of mysterious goings on.
Yeah, a lot of mysterious goings on.
Drama with each other and the teachers.
It is still really, really good. There's always like a reveal, like almost every issue now lately. It seems like, although it feels a little bit like Lost, where like there's like a big reveal, but it leads to like a million more like complicated right. questions. But that's kind of why I like it, because I love Lost, and like I love like those like kind of like nonstop like what oh yeah what and like
you yeah. did watch like 15 episodes of Lost the other day.
Yeah. yeah. I started rewatching all of Lost like 3 weeks ago, and I'm like.
You're all
five.
Reinvested. Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. In similar news, I watched.
Still love Lost?
The yeah. movie.
still love it.
I watched the movie Pitch Perfect for the fourth time this weekend.
Oh. Nice.
So that's,
did you?
That's where I'm at, yeah. Wow. That movie's really good. It's got a lot of good singing in it.
So, yes, Morning Glory's still good.
Cool. And then here's a question that's definitely for Jared. Okay. This is from Cassandra Wild Lofgren, and it is, what happened in the second half of Argo?
There's some drama, some tense moments, and then
the most ridiculous,
some exciting stuff happens, and then history is slightly reworked to make it even more dramatic, and then credits.
I was talking to the aforementioned Julian, and he was saying that the end scene of that needs to be sped up and have the Benny Hill music played over it, which would be pretty funny.
That would be amazing.
If you've seen the movie. It's a great movie.
I hear Iran was not happy with the movie.
Yeah, they're suing Hollywood.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, yep. for falsifying that, it.
Yeah.
They were like, it's like CIA propaganda. They're like, yep, that's what they told me.
And also,
wait,
they were
I shouldn't
like,
have said that.
Also, they were like, you poisoned Hugo Chavez.
It's also true. Yeah.
I saw at his funeral, like, basically every enemy of America was there. They all got together in one place and were like,
crazy.
Hey, death to America, you guys.
Speaking of anti-American, did you guys see that? This is really funny. Did you guys see that video North Korea like released about like Americans, like what life is like in America now?
No,
is it called Red Sunrise?
was Dennis Rodman invaded? In it?
Everybody lives in tents, and they drink coffee made from snow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Because they're like really poor, and like they live in like houses that are like made of like plastic sheets.
Oh my god.
Wait, the Koreans or the Americans?
The Americans. Oh, and then all the coffee here is supplied by North Korea.
That's very nice of them.
And the North Koreans are trying to help them like by giving them handouts, but
they're like,
working.
We need to launch more missiles of coffee across Japan to America.
I don't know how real the thing was that I saw, but it seemed real. So I don't know. It's so ridiculous. Definitely look that up.
Well, that's the next question. It is, do you guys drink North Korean snow coffee?
It's true.
That's from Kim Jong-un.
From Dennis Rodman.
It's from Dennis Rodman. That what a weird thing, that Dennis Rodman thing.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing.
I heard a guy from the...
Why is that not covered in our news segment?
I heard some guy on some radio show, he was like, at a government official, he was like, Dennis Rodman knows more about North Korea than we do.
That's amazing.
All right, so our next question is from Sam Marks. He said, what would have made the ultimate Hellblazer 300 send-off?
Maybe if, like, at the end, he got, like, shot with some ray, and he's like, where am I? This universe seems new. And 52.
He's like, just call me Constantine from now on.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, he tries to swear, but he can't.
It's true. Suddenly sounds like an American affecting a British accent.
I think it would have been cool to see some of, like, the old creators come back and kind of work together on a final story. You know,
yeah,
like how everybody worked together on 52 when that was coming out. Not the new 52, but the DC 52 issue thing that came out.
That would have been cool. Like
get Garth Ennis back and some other people.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of those people will not work with DC or mainstream comics in general anymore.
I think another good thing would be kind of like the Books of Magic thing, where you kind of get a tour of the magical side of the universe, and just, or maybe even a Swamp thing. There's like so many supporting characters and or crossover characters. Like, if they'd all come together for the last few issues, that would have been pretty cool.
Or if he had died of cancer, which would have been, like, the complete reverse of what was happening at the beginning of that. Yeah. I don't know if that is what happened, actually. I don't know. I do know that he died, so spoiler.
Spoiler.
Well, I do know that he died.
He died before the last issue?
Yeah, it was, like, two issues before the last issue. Yeah, yeah. So, So those things, I guess. I was not very up on Hellblazer towards the end.
I haven't kept up with it.
I think the last thing I read was that one shot about the kid on the bridge, which was pretty cool.
Which is great.
But,
that was good.
Yeah. So thanks for your question, Sam. Our next question is from Angie Ottinger, who's an old friend of Big Planet Comics. She says she's looking for a new series. open parentheses indie question mark close parentheses. Something both adorable and slightly creepy, please, and preferably not written for young kids.
Oof.
So adorable and creepy. Did we answer this question last time?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, Courtney Crumrin is always the thing that first jumps to mind.
Yeah.
But
Courtney Crumrin is pretty great.
And that's not especially written for young kids.
No.
That's a
tough combo.
Yeah, that is a tough combo. Adorable and slightly creepy.
Oh, I'd say something like Saga, maybe. You know, there's some books that are just kind of pushing the envelope
adorable,
a little bit.
Though.
Is it a cute little baby?
I think
the horns. It's cute.
It's not a series, but I think Coma maybe fits that bill.
Yeah, oh, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, and actually, Frederick Peters' new book, Sandcastle, that's coming out, could maybe fit into that category, too.
I don't know if it's
less adorable than creepy.
And it's definitely more than slightly creepy.
Yeah, I'd say Coma's a good one. Oh, Amethyst, Princess of Dim World.
No, well, that's creepy for all the wrong reasons.
If she hasn't read Amulet, I guess it's not really creepy. It's some parts of it are creepy.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of indie series that are fitting into that. I mean, I would say, you know, if you take the adorable thing out, maybe something like Rachel Rising might fit into that. And that's
Broxo,
a good series.
Maybe?
Yeah, that's definitely a kid's book, though, I feel like.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Courtney Crumrin is really the answer, but I feel like you're
Anybody else got some feedback, let us know on that.
Let us know on the Facebook or the Twitter or wherever.
See, this is where, like, all of our fans should be promoting their own comics.
They should. They're being
an adorable, creepy comic.
Yep.
Like, no thanks.
It's called Bortney Brumrin. All right. Well, our next question is from Dave Rockwell. He says, any suggestions of what to do when you realize you need to cull some of your piles and boxes of comics? How do you choose what to let go of, and what are good places for them to go? I think choosing what to let go of is just, like, you know, stuff you don't feel like you're going to read again.
Yeah, that's easy.
There's
going to be plenty of comics where you're like, And there are ones like, oh, I might want to read this again someday. Or like, oh, that was awesome. Keep those.
Yeah, go through it, pick out like the best stuff, and then get rid of the rest.
Yeah, you'll be able to tell what you get excited about while you're going through all of it.
Because you'll start reading it again.
And then, you know, if you want money, there's always eBay, or you can sell things to mycomicshop.com, which is actually a pretty good place to sell stuff. And but if you're not looking for money, you know, you can donate to the military, you can donate to women's shelters.
Yep.
Usually just kind of have to... Find a local one. Yeah, find a local one and maybe pull out the stuff that might be inappropriate, you know, because a lot of times the shelters and stuff will want stuff for young kids. So, and then you can always donate to Goodwill and stuff like that as well.
Yep. Right.
But yeah, switching to trades is a good way to keep that from happening in the future as well.
Yeah.
Thanks for your question, Dave. All right, now we have a gazillion. We have so many questions. Here's a bunch from...
75th episode.
Yeah, from Pete Lauer. His first one is... I just read a graphic novel called I Killed Adolf Hitler by Jason.
Great.
Have you guys ever heard of him? Yes.
We've reviewed him because he's the greatest.
I love the straight-faced deadpan humor and the minimalist art style. Cool guy. We all love Jason. And yep. I think the way you described him, his art, is pretty dead on.
Yeah.
And everything he's ever done is really good.
Yeah,
and I think probably the best place to go after I Killed Adolf Hitler is The Last Musketeer.
So good.
That's really good. I think those are his two best.
Just read all of them.
Yep, just read all of them, though.
Yeah, because there's a nice variety once you start branching out to the weirder. I guess those are all super weird, but different Jason books.
But all good.
Yeah.
What are your favorite ways to prepare chicken is his next question.
What?
That's a good question.
Fried's hard to top. But that's like everything fried is delicious.
But do you actually prepare fried chicken?
Yeah, I go to Popeyes and say, give me the spicy.
Oh, you prepare by not eating breakfast and then you just order like 20 chicken wings?
Get the biscuits? That counts as breakfast.
I usually just do like, you know, baked chicken like with a little butter, rosemary, that kind of thing.
I like to make a little chicken tiki masala.
Do you?
Oh, that's a good call.
That's good stuff.
Tiki masala?
Yeah, I don't know. It's got a bunch of different names.
Tika.
Yeah.
Parmesan chicken.
Whatever
good.
It's called.
Parmesan chicken is also good.
Good. It's good.
We like weird questions like that, though.
Yeah.
I want questions like, if somebody had a baseball bat and somebody had a gun and they were 10 feet away from each other, you know, who would kill the other one?
Well, let's move on.
Yeah. So send us questions like that at HH Holmes on Twitter. Next question from Pete Lauer, question master extraordinaire. He says, what music are you guys listening to right now?
Lots of stuff.
Well, just say one.
Lots of Kendrick Lamar.
The new Kendrick Lamar.
So good.
It is really good.
It is good. Is that Have Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe on it, or is that on the one before that?
I don't know.
It's good.
Oh, I think it's on that one. Yeah.
That's a good song.
totally blank.
It's definitely great. Been listening to a lot of Cloud Nothings, which is great.
Also great. I've been listening to some Aeroplane. He's a Belgian DJ, just doing that kind of dancing music. What else? We're playing a lot at the store.
I can't get enough of Twin Shadow either.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to the
new
show?
Still listening to it all the time. Is there another show?
Coming up.
When?
I think in April or May.
Twin Shadow show.
Yep.
I got to go.
I've been listening to, what have I been listening to? I've been listening to a lot of Too Many Daves, who are a punk band that are pretty good.
Sweet.
They have a good song called Dude Room, which has a line, can I borrow $50 for a hot dog spinner? Nice. And my friend's band, Dude Jams, I like them a lot. I've been listening to them. And then some older punk stuff. I've been listening to a lot of, Cox Bar, I like. I've been listening to Generation X. And I don't know, just I've been listening to a lot of punk music.
Actually, I've been listening to a lot of 70s Nigerian music again.
Oh, like the Lagos so Jump stuff? That stuff's great. If you ever find those compilations like Nigeria 71 and Lagos Jump, those are all...
They're just so good.
Really, really good, yeah.
And you can listen to it like anytime.
Yeah, but whenever you guys come into the store, you can always ask us what music we're listening to, because it's probably always something strange.
Awesome. It might be playing.
Yeah.
And Andy is not here, but he is probably listening to Kylesa or some other kind of sludge metal band.
Yeah.
The grandmas love it. All right, so next question from Pete. What are your all-time favorite series, writers, graphic novels, movies, preferably not based on comics, and TV shows?
This is an interview.
All right, I'm going to just do a couple out of those because that's too many for me. Seven Samurai, greatest film ever made. And just because it's in the news recently, I'll say Veronica Mars, one of my favorite TV shows.
Just to give a little context for his questions, he says, I started listening to the podcast without really having a gauge of your own personal taste, so it'd be nice to have a better understanding of where your reviews are coming from.
Coming from Awesome Land?
I think it's fair enough.
Like I said, I love Lost.
Don't do that. He's going to stop listening to our reviews.
Movie-wise, oh, God, I like, it's like a wide range of stuff.
Yeah,
it just makes like
Who Framed Roger Rabbit is a great movie.
That is a good movie.
One of my favorites is a weird... Yugoslavian movie from before.
Really?
It became whatever Yugoslavia
Split
into now. Yeah, Time of the Gypsies, which is really good.
I haven't seen that one.
Which is never got released on DVD. I have an old VHS tape that I dig out every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's great.
Let's see. For me, writers, since none of us talked about writers, I like Charles Dickens.
Really?
I do.
Clearly, you've never suffered through the Pickwick Papers.
The Pickwick Papers is all right.
Is Great Expectations. We did that in English class. So
Great Expectations is great.
Talk about Great Expectations where you have to read it over a year with a bunch of idiot ninth graders.
That doesn't sound like fun.
No, it was terrible.
I really like newer guys. I like George Saunders a lot, who's like kind of a sci-fi writer. I like Haruki Murakami.
J.K. Rowling.
Joe Rowling.
I do like all the Harry Potter books.
All of them? Even the seventh one?
Did any of us say any of our favorite artists? I think we talked about that on here.
The Pope is dope.
Paul Pope.
Also in the news.
Paul Pope is great. The new Pope, Paul
he's
Pope.
He's dead and he's back.
Similarly, Nathan Fox is great.
Very similarly.
I love Chris Samney.
Stan Sakai. God, man.
If you check out our Best of the Year, that'll have like a lot of the comic stuff that we really love on
recent stuff,
Look at our best artists, the lists and best writers.
But as far as movies, I love Band of Outsiders. It's a Jean-Luc Godard movie. I love the original King Kong. Dazed and Confused.
That was so good.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I like. And TV shows, probably my favorite stuff right now is Luther.
A guy at the store was just telling me to watch it. It says really good.
Yeah, it's a British cop show.
Wait. Sum it up. Best TV show ever, The Wire.
Yeah, The Wire.
The Wire is great. We can kind of agree on that. Yeah.
And I love Doctor Who.
Parks and Recreation.
Parks and Recreation is maybe my favorite show. It's
Breaking Bad.
I love
Sons of Anarchy.
Game
is
of
actually,
Thrones.
I love Sons of Anarchy.
And Boardwalk Empire is a very good show.
There we go.
That's all a lot right. of good yeah. shows. So that's,
follow all of our stuff.
That's all the stuff that we like. By the way, he says some of his favorites are Chris Claremont's Uncanny X-Men, Jeff Lemire, he likes for art. Blankets is...
Just for art. Read Underwater Welder.
He was asking about the artists.
Chris Claremont, don't draw.
He loves Blankets, and he loves Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and Scrubs.
Early Scrubs is amazing.
Scrubs is a really good TLC song.
Or as they call them in Russia, Scrubinskys.
And
that's not true.
I wish it was.
My girlfriend is Russian, and she was like really into Scrubs. She told me when she was in Russia. But I was like, "What was it called?" She's like, I was like, is it called Scrubinskis? Scrubamovs? And she's like, is it, it's called Scrubs.
Scrubamovs.
It's called Scrubs.
Scrublovs.
Scrubs.
Yeah.
And lastly, do you guys listen to podcasts? I just listened to the Scott Snyder episode of Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman. Is that the name of the Kevin Smith podcast?
I think it is, yeah.
And it was swell. Not only did he go to Brown and Columbia for a BA and MFA, but he was also Buzz Lightyear at Disney World. Thanks.
Wow.
Nice.
I used to... I was never Buzz Lightyear at Disney World. I was going to say it was, but that's not true. Yeah, I don't know. I'll let you guys go first. Podcasts?
I don't listen to too many.
Yeah, I used to follow some music ones. There was a really good British DJ who did like kind of underground, non-label music from all over the world, and he'd do like weird themes and stuff. I can't even remember what it was. I haven't listened
to it. I only listen to the Big Black Comics podcast.
That's about it, yeah.
Like some of the ones that Kevin listens to, I also listen to.
Yeah,
Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah, I listen to Comedy Bang Bang, which is a great comedy, like character-driven show that's really funny, like sketch or like improv comedy type stuff.
It's really funny.
I like How Did This Get Made, which is about bad movies.
Oh, really? Sounds great.
I like the Chelsea Peretti podcast where people call in and she's really mean to them. And then I listen to a few video game podcasts. I like
a few.
I like the Giant Bombcast is probably my favorite. And actually, we take a lot of inspiration from that podcast, especially in the structure of our Best of the Year stuff. And
Who are those two British dudes we were listening to?
Yeah, House to Astonish.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good comics podcast.
Yeah.
And I really like 8-4 Play, which is another video game podcast all about Japanese video games. And it's really informative and interesting.
It's true.
Man, we're hitting you guys with the info today.
Yeah, yeah. So that's every question for
that is our entire life.
I was born on the 4th of July is one of my favorite movies. No. All right. So next question is from Joe. Is it McCove or McCovey? Anyway, he knows.
It's Machove.
Machova.
He knows who he is. He says, what's the worst comic you've reviewed out of all 75 episodes?
Oh, man. That is a tough one.
I can't remember. I know there's one that we destroyed. God, what was it? Were we all like laughing so hard and we just did it as a joke even. I can't remember what it was.
It's tough. There's been some pretty rough stuff.
I will say though that we are tending to shy away from those recently because we're just like there's no point in reviewing some things. It's just like
sometimes things are so bad. Human Bomb was a really bad one for me. Human Bomb number one.
That definitely isn't one of the worst ones.
Yeah, nope, I feel like there must be stuff that's worse. Definitely in the early days, we used to review a lot of bad stuff.
We reviewed
stuff.
Everything, and that was ugly.
Yeah, it was brutal. I started to hate comics.
Well, we might have some DC New 52, maybe Savage, Hawk and Dove. Hawk and Dove number one.
Hawk and Dove number one.
Green Arrow number one is.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, well, I should say Green Arrow is good now.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I just read the new issue. Oh, it's exciting.
Yeah, so there have been some bad ones. That's all we'll say.
Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on.
Oh, God. X-Men.
Moving back.
First X-Men.
First X-Men. God.
Yeah. First X-Men was really bad.
And the Batman one, too.
Batman Odyssey? Did we review that?
Oh, boy.
No, we didn't.
All right.
We just talked about
it. I'm going to lose my voice, so somebody else read the next question.
Give me some questions, yeah. I don't even know where we left off on this
question. Next up, we got a question from Christian Tribstone. And Christian asks, after seeing the Veronica Mars Kickstarter explosion, I was wondering if you guys know of any comic book Kickstarter projects that might be worthy of some attention. And if you guys don't know what he's talking about, there was a Veronica Mars Kickstarter put on by Rob Thomas. They've been talking about a movie for like a long time since the series ended.
Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20.
Yeah. The series was critically
canceled.
Acclaimed, but never had high ratings like ever. People love it. And so they did a Kickstarter for a movie. Their goal was
$2 million,
and they raised $2 million in 12 hours.
Yeah, so
I haven't even put money in.
Which
I'm
is
totally
ridiculous.
Doing it.
Ridiculous!
Like you can get like the script and like signed.
Yeah,
and, voiceovers. It's crazy.
One of the things is they already had a studio lined up that would pay for all the promotion and stuff like that. So they were like, we just need this money to get it started. And
yeah,
which is crazy. Which makes me wonder why Joss Whedon hasn't done any Firefly Kickstarter.
Well, maybe this is the kind of thing that'll lead into that.
I feel like that would make
a billion.
If their
dollars.
Goal was like $80 million, they would probably reach.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
like people selling their house. It'd be amazing.
Right. So my thing with Kickstarter, I feel like it gets bigger and bigger all the time, so it's really hard to actually find like the good stuff.
Right.
Admittedly, I don't feel like I try that hard, but there's not really anything. Like Sullivan Sluggers was the last big thing I remember, and then that turned into kind of a disaster. Just with
it's got a lot of kinks to work out of like actually producing some stuff. I think a lot of it though is like we usually hear about things is when they get really big or when someone brings it to our attention. and then we get them for the store. So
yeah, but if anybody has heard of any good Kickstarter comic stuff, let us know, because we like to order that stuff if it's going to be cool and we can't get it.
And there are also a lot of that are trying to figure out like how to sell to stores and sell to the direct audience as well, which is interesting.
Yeah. Like Secret Prison was a good example. They did, they were selling directly. Secret Prison was a really cool...
weird Japanese-inspired alternative.
Yeah, I think
anthology.
It was Secret Prison 7. But and they did a thing where, you know, customers could just buy it straight from them, but then they had, like, retailer deals, too, which was pretty cool, and we got a bunch of those from them. But, if you guys know any, let us know on the Twitter.
All right, next question. We got Gabriel Alejandro Rodriguez. And he says, since the Kick-Ass 2 trailer was just released, I was wondering what are your opinions or where do you stand about comics making their way onto the screen? I base my question on Alan Moore's comments that basically state that if something was originally written for X medium comics in this case, then it should stay that way. And Millar's apparent made-for-film style of comics.
I'd like to clarify. I think the thing that Alan Moore is saying is that you can do whatever the hell you want. I think a lot of it is that people say, like, oh, that movie was terrible. It ruined the comic book for me. And I think Alan Moore has always made the point that it will have no effect on the quality of a previous media.
I wouldn't be surprised if Alan Moore actually said that you shouldn't make movies out of stuff. Yeah. He's crazy. But, I think if he did say that, that's dumb. Because look at Jaws, for example. You know, it's like a mediocre book that's made into a great movie. Same thing with The Godfather.
Yeah.
That was a book before it was a movie as well.
And I mean, a lot more people watched Avengers than read the Avengers comics.
Like a bazillion more.
Yeah. I think there are definitely certain cases. For example, Watchmen, which is definitely a comic that takes full advantage of the fact that it's a comic.
Right.
And so it really works in that medium. And to make it into a movie, you're really just taking one element of it and turning that into a narrative.
Right.
And which is part of the reason why the Watchmen movie is not that great. Most of the reason is that it was directed by Zack Snyder. I think to make a good Watchmen movie, you had to take it and work it into the tropes of film the way that he does with the tropes of comics and
work
it that way. But I think you would have had to change it completely, which would have made
like
people
they should
mad,
have hired
I guess.
Kevin as director. No, they would have. That's true.
And I'm a little bit like this comic Mind Management, which is a great comic, but I also feel like it's very comic-y and it works as a comic so well. And it's not just the story that's great, which is what will translate to the movie.
Yeah.
But but I think making comics into movies is fine.
Yeah, whatever.
I thought Ghost World was a fun movie. I think I think a lot of the smaller
American
stuff.
American Splendor?
Yeah.
It's great.
And comics are great for movie studios because it's just like, hey, here are storyboards.
Yeah.
You know, here's like a look. here's a script with dialogue. And it's like, you know, it's they translate better than novels, I feel like.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Yeah.
And we got another question from Sam Marks because we missed some questions last week. And so this one's from this week. He says, cape or no cape?
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Who is the bad guy?
No cape.
Who is the bad guy in the Incredibles?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
I forget.
It's not Sinestro, but he has
Incredibad
a name like that.
Or something like that.
Like Syndicate. I can't remember his name. But anyway, I think when he got sucked into that jet plane, he proved that no capes is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I mean...
Unless you're doing just like a stylistic thing like Batman, where it just looks amazing and you're all creepy.
Oh, and he uses
or like Spawn, where your cape is like 75 feet long.
Yeah, it was alive.
And it's like alive.
Yeah, that's the only excuse.
Syndrome.
Superman has no reason to wear a cape.
Full.
Yeah, but he has no reason to wear body armor either. But
now he has a bulletproof cape.
Yeah,
right?
It's like they look cool, but if we're talking practical, which why would
but exactly
if you're practical, no cape. All right, next question is from Christian Tribbestone, and it is: so what did Kevin think about the last page of Uncanny Avengers number 4? I think he's just trolling me because
ever actually read it?
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So thanks for calling me out. Jared does that to me a lot on this podcast. Thanks for doing it in a question form in viewer mail section.
Yeah, teamwork.
Our last question is from Michael Koyoyan. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. Sorry, Michael. But he says, what are some of your favorite music-related comics and or comic-related music? I know my answer to this, but...
Comics part is easy.
All right.
Phonogram.
Yeah, that's mine.
Phonogram. Icarus music.
Was my other one.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that is amazing.
So
explain Icarus, because it's the best that nobody knows about.
Yeah, and Phonogram as well, because a lot of people don't know about that.
Phonogram is a great British comic series by the team behind Young Avengers, who went off to do a weird indie book after hitting it with Young Avengers. It's the concept that music can literally be a magical force that can change your life, and so that people are like magicians who can work with music and vice versa. It's all about pop music, largely 90s inspired British music, but ranging around, and it's great.
And I think for me, I would say, especially the first volume of Phonogram, I feel like the second volume does not quite get to that point that the first one did.
Had cool elements, though. But yeah, they're both
good. But also, it was like, I feel like the first one was about bands like Joy Division and Manic Street Preachers and bands that are like people remember.
Yeah.
And the second one had like the Pipettes in it. You guys remember the Pipettes?
I do not, but I did listen to them after that. It was a good song.
And then The Marvelous World of Icarus is a favorite around here. Yeah,
we play it often.
It's Fantastic Vol.
It's like a 70s prog rock album that's all based on Marvel characters.
All roughly inspired by a loose understanding of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
This is not a super fan.
There's a rock opera about Thor, which is sweet.
And also, not specifically about any particular characters, but the Mad Villain album, which is Mad Lib and it's MF true. Doom, is great. It's very comic inspired and very cool.
Oh, Monster Magnet's got some good comic book themed songs as well.
I don't believe it.
And the Ramones version of the Spider-Man TV show theme song.
It's pretty good.
Is also pretty good. All right, well, so that's it for the questions. We definitely appreciate you guys sending in all these questions. Keep an eye on our Facebook. We've been putting up asking for questions every week, and we're getting some good feedback from there.
Or send us
questions to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com. Don't forget, we have a podcast hotline at 1-703-539-CAST. That number again, 1-703-539-CAST.
Or you could leave a voicemail, which we will probably play on the air. It's very exciting.
Yeah, we'll almost definitely play it on the air, unless you're being weird.
Well, some people don't know.
So that's that. Let's get into some reviews, you guys.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Sure.
We love comics, they're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell. I prefer important books like Louis Riel. It's time for reviews.
All right, up first this week, we've got Age of Ultron. This is number 1 and 2 because we didn't do a podcast last week, and 2 issues have already come out. this is by Brian Michael Bendis and Brian Hitch. This is a weekly series. It's going to be 10 issues, 11 issues?
10.
10 issues.
With
10 issues.
A few one-shot tie-ins.
It's almost weekly.
Almost weekly.
3 times a month.
Oh, okay, well, there you go.
2 or 3 times a month, for sure.
Yeah. And it's about a bunch of Ultrons taking
Getting
over the world
for the birthday party.
Yeah, so Age of Ultron is kind of this thing that Bendis and Hitch have kind of been working on for like 5 years or something. They did an issue of New Avengers that took place in this world, and there was a story in the first Marvel .1 that took place in this world.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Which is written and drawn by those two. And Brian Hitch has been working on this for a long time because obviously everybody knows he's really slow.
Yep.
Even though he always claims that it's not his fault. he's definitely slow. It's not like, all of his books are always late. But so they waited till he was done with this and then they started putting it out. And so there's 5 issues done that he drew and then it switches to different artists after that.
So because, he didn't finish is what you're saying.
Yeah, but also they're like, part of the story makes it so that they have to switch artists.
Oh, whatever.
Which takes place in a different universe or something.
No, that just means Brian Hitch is low.
Yeah, he's still gonna use the same artist.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the weird thing about this is that from what I hear, it was just supposed to be the 5 issues, and then they're like, hey, let's make some more issues.
More money.
Switch it into something else.
Always a good idea.
Yeah. Which, so far, doesn't matter. I will see how it is when it switches over.
Right. So far, nothing that happens in this comic matters.
Well, nothing and everything, I guess. Because supposedly, this takes place in the Marvel Universe. There's some problems with that. If you ignore continuity and just kind of go
with
it.
Which we tend to on the show. It's not a big deal.
And you just kind of go with it. It's cool. I think it's the first event that I've ever seen that actually takes place. Like, it doesn't start with like a villain like plotting and then doing something and then two heroes stopping him. Basically, this is like Ultron shows up suddenly.
Carnage.
Takes over the world in like minutes. And all the heroes are, half of them are dead and half of them are who knows what. And a few of them are banding together to try to come up with a plan. And basically, the first 2 issues just kind of show you how different parts of the world are devastated and what's happened to some of the heroes. And you slowly start to get pieces of what happened and how they're going to stop it, or
and a little bit of like how a new underworld has formed and like how
the heroes are fighting back
some of them are very devastated and blah blah blah. I don't know,
but there's definitely hints at like something else going on, because there's, I thought it was cool in the second issue, they talk about how like basically in the first issue Owlman and Hammerhead are like holding Peter Parker and they're like, oh, we're going to sell him to Ultron. And this issue, the heroes like talk about it like, wait, why would Ultron want to like buy a hero? Why wouldn't he just like come down and kill them and take them and like, what, like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, but it's cool. I thought it was fun. It like drops you right into it. You get huge.
Literally. Opening page. Ultron's taking over the world. Yeah. Go.
And yeah. That's about it.
I mean, and Hitch does his widescreen thing that he's kind of been doing since the Authority, right?
Yeah. It's mostly a showcase for Hitch's art.
Yeah.
It's like, here's some heroes and here's some crazy stuff happening to them. And then, like, you know.
Robots attack.
Yeah, robots attack. But it's a little slow, but it helps that it's almost weekly, so it'll come out pretty fast.
I guess the thing with me, it feels very soon after the Marvel Now relaunch, like,
right. Yeah,
and it just doesn't feel like, I feel like a lot of these other events, it's been like, you know, Civil War led to the Initiative,
right? It's all been building on itself, which
led to this other thing. Which
like I said, New Avengers, but then like it also has stuff from Moon Knight,
but
the Moon Knight series was built up. But the fact is, it was really delayed.
Yeah, so this should have been out like a year ago. Yeah, it should have been right before Marvel Now.
It doesn't feel like it organically fits in with their stream of things that they've been doing.
Right, right.
It was like, you know, how. You know, like I was saying, like after Civil War, they had the Initiative thing, which led into Secret Invasion, which led to like Norman Osborn taking over. You know, and it's like everything kind of like was important to the thing after it. And I feel like this is not that.
I think it will be by the end. And that's the thing I was going to say. Like, if you ignore like continuity,
this is like
and
old man Logan, I'm just like, go.
Because, like, for a while I had trouble, like, reconciling some of the stuff. I was like, is Spider-Man Peter Parker or Dr. Octopus? And I read that he was supposed to be Dr. Octopus. And I was like, he doesn't really talk like Dr. Octopus. And also, like, there's, like, things like, why is Captain America wearing that costume? And, like, it's, you know, it's a little weird to fit everything in. But most of that is because it was written a long time ago.
It's not even the continuity. It's just, like, it's like when you get used to that, it's like the stakes are not there, I feel like. It just feels, I don't know, it just doesn't feel very dramatic to me because it feels like a throw off. I don't know. And I mean, you could say the same thing about something like Old Man Logan, but I also think that's like a fun book that is cool. And I don't really like this book that much, I guess. Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like, it doesn't feel big to me. I don't know.
Huh? I don't know. I feel like it's the first event that's like a post-apocalyptic dystopian kind of event. Like all the other ones. You know, every other comic event has been, like, pretty A, B, C, D. You know, like, this starts, like, at the end. I thought it was neat. We'll see how it goes.
I think that's it, too. We're still, like, very much in the
introduction. There's definitely a bunch of weird things going on with it. Because, like, I was reading that, like, the ending of it is, like, they're trying to keep it secret because all these other endings have been leaking. And so, I don't know if I talked about this last time, but they had to get... like only 5 people know the ending to this, like the last few pages, like something crazy happens, and only 5 people know it, and one of them is Joe Quesada, so they had to get Joe Quesada to draw the last like 10 pages or so.
Which
is pretty crazy, and you know, I don't know how much of it is hype and how much of it is truth.
That's all hype.
But they could actually be making an effort to not reveal everything that's happening in there, because like it always leaks. We'll see if it leaks or not, but either way, it'll be fun.
Yeah. I liked it.
Age of Ultron.
It's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we've got Aliens versus Parker. This is written by the comedian Paul Scheer, which I actually didn't know until after I read this.
Who's he?
He is from a bunch of stuff. He's from a TV show called Human Giant.
Yeah.
He is the host of the previously mentioned How Did This Get Made podcast.
Oh.
He was on an episode of the previously mentioned Parks and Recreation.
He's on The League.
And he's also on The League. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Is this co-written with Nick Giovanetti?
Yes.
And then art by Manuel Brocchi. And this is like a weird book. The tone's kind of a little all over the place, but it was a lot of fun.
It kind of shifts between like goofy... character-driven slapsticky stuff and like military action sci-fi. So it's like Parker is one of a crew who basically run a towing company transport spaceship thing where they just fly around in deep space, pick up stuff, and take it somewhere else. And so it's like him and all of his buddies, and they're like goofy. What do they do to not go crazy in the middle of space for years at a time?
Yeah, they're like space truckers, and they play video games.
Right, there you go.
Yeah, it's a little jarring at first. I didn't like it for the first few pages because I thought it was all something else.
An artificial video game reality.
Well, you don't know that at the beginning.
I know, and the art was terrible.
You're like, what is this? What's going on? And then it switches, and it's actually, I thought it was pretty entertaining. Like, the characters have really good defined personalities.
Some are hilarious.
It sets up a really fun situation, like, really fast, and it does a great job of being, like, a first issue. You get a good feel the characters and the stakes and what's going to happen, which is cool.
Yeah,
I definitely liked it all. The only thing that disappointed me about it is I originally thought it was going to be Parker, like from the Parker novels.
I was writing aliens. That'd be amazing.
That would have been great. But yeah, no, it's definitely like a fun comedy sci-fi thing that I think will fly under a lot of people's radar. So yeah, people should check it out.
That one's really good. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of comedy books, the next thing up is Buddy Cops number one. This is a one shot written by Nate Cosby. Who is Nate Cosby? He did a bunch of stuff for Boom Studios in the early days.
Doesn't he?
He played Theo on the show.
That's true. And art by Evan Shaner. And this is Buddy Cop is. I don't have an issue here in front of me, but it's basically about a decommissioned robot cop from the 70s.
Yep.
And then also a
space alien
and a drunk space alien named Uranus, who become so these kind of
buddy cops.
Yeah, these like two loose cannon
mismatched partners.
I have a question. Was this stuff in Dark Horse Presents?
I think so, because
it's Dark Horse
like
one
three
shot.
Parts.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe it was. I
missed
them
though.
I feel like these are all the stories from Dark Horse Presents, and that. They have like a framing device of like the guy like here's some of our greatest adventures.
Yeah, and then they're like a series of like 8-page stories or whatever. And each one is funny. One is like they're fighting a giant religious monkey with like a nuclear slingshot.
No, it's an ape, Kevin.
Oh, sorry. It is an ape.
I thought it was a chimpanzee.
It's an orangutan.
Orangutan. There you go.
And I don't know, they have these weird personalities. Like the alien guy is really obsessed with like 90s hip hop.
Yeah.
And so he quotes like Wu-Tang Clan a lot.
Yeah, right.
And then of course the decommissioned robot from the 70s is like very straight-laced.
Yeah.
Almost like RoboCop, and it's like it's the goofiest thing.
Yeah, it's super goofy, but really fun.
I was recommending this to somebody. I was like, "You should buy this. It's really stupid."
Yeah,
but like in a really positive way.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It is really funny. And
I compared it to something like Axe Cop, maybe, like the same kind of level of
like
chuckles,
over the top fun,
but more like adult. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's definitely more adult than that, but it's definitely like very.
Just random stuff.
Just
happening.
Random stuff happening. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it was fun. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Up next, we've got a really fantastic graphic novel. This is Fanny and Romeo. This is by... so this is written by somebody named Yves Pelletier, who is a Canadian comedian, I guess, a comedy actor. Yeah, but the art in this is by Pascal Girard, who we love, who did Bigfoot and Reunion, and is just really fantastic. Has a style similar to like say somebody like Sammy Harkham or something like that.
Yeah.
This was a really like the other Pascal Girard books. This was like funny and touching and just very interesting.
It almost like the pages almost read like single page gag strips or just like. They could stand on their own. They're such like in a single 6-panel page, they get so much emotion and like character development. But it's basically that there's a girl named Fanny who's been going out with this guy named Fabian for a really long time, and she wants to have kids and couldn't from a previous relationship. That's like the big hang up point. And then she basically ends up adopting a cat named Romeo, who she like really starts getting like more attached to than Fabian. And of course, Fabian's super allergic to cats and hijinks ensue. But it's like, so touching and so much like real like
it's really
emotional
sweet.
Stuff and is this relationship going to work, is this going to be a breaking point, and like
it's always like cute and sweet like throughout
dealing with some like really
no but yeah and like a
rough emotional
like,
moment
but
I don't know, it gets pretty rough emotionally at times, like all their relationship stuff has a real weight to it
and like very real.
There's always like really funny stuff going on, but also it can be, I think, like Pascal Girard's other books, like, you know, Bigfoot is about people going looking for Bigfoot, but then it turns into this really, like, kind of devastating coming-of-age story.
Right.
Or, like, Reunion seems like a fun story about somebody going on a high school reunion, but really it ends up being about how they were, like, a terrible person and maybe didn't realize it. And I feel like this is about, like, a funny story about a girl adopting a cat, but really it's about how people substitute things in their relationships for other things. And,
yeah, people grow apart.
And people grow apart, and then, but, you know, and also grow back together. And it's, I don't know, it's a good book. The whole, all the people's relationships in it feel really organic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It feels really true while being really funny at the same time.
Yeah.
And Pascal Girard's art is, as always, great.
But man, with the watercolors on
this. Yeah, with the watercolors in this, it has a very light feel to it. It feels very... I don't even know who I would compare
this to. It's like six panels, but the panels don't have borders on them. So it's just like he'll fill in a loose background around the sofa or whatever with like bright colors. And it's just, it's so happy. And I don't know. It really balances everything out.
But he uses color well, too. And it creates whatever mood it is in the scene, he really adapts well to that. And
blues and oranges.
And he's great with facial expressions. And the dialogue is actually really all very snappy and well written.
Yeah. Especially because this is translated from French.
Well, the translation's great too because it all feels really natural.
Yeah.
I guess I should have known it was translated because some of the word balloons are funny sizes for the words that are inside of them. But this is a great book and I would recommend it to everybody.
I'd say our highest recommendation.
Our highest recommendation indeed.
Yeah. In fact, we might have a special offer for you kids out there.
Oh yeah, we are going to have a special offer. So if you go to bigplanetcomics.com/Fanny.
Nice. Totally appropriate.
We'll have a coupon up there for you guys starting tomorrow, or today, or whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah.
So that'll be good through next week. The same thing we did with Merman last week. So so check that out. We'll do 25% off.
Yeah. Sweet. So anyone in the area, definitely go print out that coupon because this book is the best.
Yep. Up next, we have another book that is also the best.
God.
Yeah, this book is so good. This is called...
to completely flip everything of awesomeness.
Yeah, these books
different
are
kind of awesomeness.
Almost similar, but definitely not. This is a hair shirt. This is a new hardcover by Patrick McEwen or McCone. But this is... God, this book is
this
crazy.
Book is
heavy.
One of the best kind of relationship books I've read in a long time.
Yeah, so let me try to break it down without giving away too much because a lot of the journey of these characters is really important. So basically, the main thing is focused on is I think John is the main character's name, and him reconnecting with this girl named Naomi who was like a friend of his during childhood, and kind of. It's about them meeting each other again and then kind of working through a lot of the stuff that happened to them when they were younger and figuring out what it all means to them now. And
also like getting over their very previous damages and like trying to make it work with a new person.
So the two characters had a relationship when they were younger and they were neighbors for a long time. And she had an older brother that died in a car accident, which I think is revealed pretty early in the book. Right. And so the way they both dealt with that
led to a bunch of things that kind of separated them.
Yeah. And it's just kind of about them reconnecting, but it's also about a million other things.
Yeah, like so many people and emotions and stuff and come into it. The main thing is like hair shirt is like a term for when someone like often a religious person would wear a shirt made of hair under their clothes just to like torment their body physically. So a lot of it's about like the psychic damage you can carry on from relationship and through your life and how you deal with problems. And so the guy will just be like having terrible nightmares and McEwen's art is like super I wouldn't say scratchy but spiky almost.
I can see that.
Like he'll have these nightmares of just hair and
the
monsters
and are
so creepy.
They are terrifying. I think that's definitely like the main thing. It's kind of about the damage that we carry around with us and how you never really quite know what you're doing and how it affects other people.
True.
And like how other people are going to interpret things and how you're misinterpreting things. And sometimes in this book, that's on like a very small, a small scale.
Right.
But sometimes it's on a very large scale. Yeah. I'm being very vague because I feel like all the revelations in this book are what make it so good.
Yeah.
But the relationship between these two main characters, just the way it develops and the way it falls apart and comes back together and everything, just it all feels really real
and organic.
And true.
It feels true.
And it can be because of that is very effective and can be like emotionally rough.
Like, this was captivating. I definitely read all of it like just in I just sat there and like read it. And
couldn't stop. This is a dense book. There's a lot that you get out of it. Like a lot going on and a lot of reading out of it. But man.
This is already for me probably one of the best books I've read this year so far.
Definitely up there.
If not the best I've read this year. Definitely check it out. It's called Hair Shirt And it's fantastic.
Highest recommendation.
Definitely
again.
The most highest of recommendations. All right, up next we've got Helheim number one. This is written by Cullen Bunn.
Helheim.
Who's written a bunch of Wolverine. He writes Six Gun. He's done a ton of stuff.
Damned. A couple others.
Art by Joelle Jones, who she did.
Oh, yeah, what'd you do?
Something. She's done a bunch of stuff. I think she did some books with Jamie Rich, like 12.
Yes. 12 Things I Love About You.
10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah. Or 12 Reasons Why I Love Her, I think it's called. But so this is kind of a supernatural Viking book.
Yeah, if you guys are like reading Northlanders and you're like, this is way too realistic historically, I want more fantasy and more magic and awesomeness.
More skeletons, please.
Yeah, so this is, it seems another, again, like Northlanders, a well-researched Viking comic, but there are definitely curses and zombie warriors and, you know, that stuff going on.
Frankenstein.
And basically, Helheim is about a Viking warrior who might come back as zombie Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Two kicks in butt.
Yeah.
I had some problems with this.
Yeah, me too.
Overall, I liked it. The thing is, I didn't think it was a very good first issue.
Yeah, I agree
it
with that.
It felt like... Cause,
I,
all right,
I feel like a lot in issue two is going to make
the cover,
this go.
There's like... You know, Frankenstein Viking, and there's like an army of like skeletons, and basically none of that even starts to happen till like the last page.
Yeah,
and it feels a little rushed near the end. Kind of spoiling this entire comic, but it's hard not to because
like you said, it's on the cover.
Yeah,
It's basically like a pace. I do think there's a big pacing problem. Some things are emphasized that maybe shouldn't be, and some things are not that should be.
Yeah.
They establish a lot of the relationships of these characters, but the way it's done, nobody feels very three-dimensional. So I don't know about you guys, but I didn't really find myself like caring about what happened to anybody in this book.
No, it was just basically like somebody being like, oh, I'm in love with this girl. This girl loves me. And the character dad being like, oh,
I'd say this is a book that's
I don't like her. And then it's like, all right.
I'd say this book is like only, like, going for like flash rather than development. Like it all looks cool and it's fun to read, but there's not much depth to it.
Yeah, they definitely do a lot more telling than showing with a lot of the character relationship stuff, which I think is part of the reason. Yeah. You know, the action scenes are fun, and I always like skeletons with swords.
Yep,
that's always awesome.
Viking
and the
zombies
idea of
good.
Frankenstein, Viking is pretty cool.
Yeah, like I love the concept. I think this is one where we'll just have to wait and check
I think
out the
issue two,
issue.
See what he pulls off in that.
Yeah. All right. Well, up next we've got a book called Lost Vegas. This is a new Image book. I don't think we've talked about any other new Image books, but this is written by Jim McCann, who wrote Hawkeye and Mockingbird.
Yes.
Right? And a bunch of other stuff.
He writes Mind the Gap.
Mind the Gap.
Oh yeah. He writes Mind the Gap. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is great.
And then this is the art, and this is by Janet Lee.
Yes.
And this is a...
From Psycho? Was that her name?
No. This is a sci-fi, another sci-fi book. This is a weird plot.
All right, so basically
plot.
This is like Ocean's 11 in space.
Kind of.
Sort of. There's like a giant casino spaceship that's, you know, huge. Like, you know, there's millions of, not millions, but like lots and lots and lots of casinos inside of it. And there's different levels to it. And basically everybody that works there is like a prisoner.
They're like indentured servants.
Yeah, they're like criminals that did something, and so they have to... They try to steal from them, and so they have to, you know, like they lost all their money gambling like way too much, and they didn't have enough money to pay it back, so now they're working off their debt, except the problem is that like they don't make enough to pay off their debt, so they're kind of there forever. And so the main character is kind of trying to get out, and that's like the basic setup.
Yeah, so he's trying to pull a long con using like a few other inmates, and you know, people got access to basically trick his way out through... A mixture of trickery and like actual gambling, because he's like a gamer.
Right.
You know, he's like a con man, basically.
Yeah,
and that's where it becomes sort of a cross between something like Ocean's 11 and then like a Prison Break movie.
Right.
Yeah.
The one twist is that almost everyone in this is aliens, and humanity's either been conquered or nearly wiped out, or just aren't around a lot. So, but there's the weird thing about like everyone has to wear like a weird fake identity, so like hologram or something, so they all look humanoid.
Yeah.
Which works into their escape plan.
Part of their scheme. But yeah, so there's some interesting weird background stuff that's hinted at like that. But
yeah, I really like this. I like this. I thought the story was, you know, fairly original. It's got some tropes of like the heist stuff in there and the Prison Break stuff. But it's really cool, really interesting. Like I like I liked a lot of the characters and some of the weird little mysteries set up, like what is that creature that lives in his cell?
Oh yeah,
and
he's like, got some weird buddies.
What's up with this crazy opera singer? And I thought there was enough set up. I don't quite like the art that much.
I wasn't a big fan of the art.
I definitely think this is the best art she's ever done, and she's getting a little better. Because I really didn't like Emma and like
Dapperman.
Return to the Dapperman.
Oh, is this the same artist?
Yeah,
this is a lot better than that.
Yeah, and this is like, yeah. So it's not terrible. It gets the point across, and it's got a distinct style. But yeah, I mean,
I really liked it for the writing.
Yeah, like, the story's great.
The art's okay. Yeah, like I said, it's better. It's probably her best. And she does some like really good spectacles and gets lots of weird alien stuff across, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, it feels familiar and new at the same time, which is always a good combination.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that the whole concept was really cool. So.
Yeah. All right, we got another Image book up next. This is Sex Number One. This is written by Joe Casey, who I always mix up with Joe Kelly, so I'm not going to say what he wrote. Did Joe Casey write I Kill Giants?
No, it was Joe Kelly.
There we go.
I couldn't remember that.
Joe Casey's Man of Action Studios?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. And this is art by...
Butcher Baker. He wrote... what was that Marvel series that's awesome with Nick Dragata art?
Oh, Vengeance.
Vengeance,
yep,
which is
yep,
great.
He also wrote that. And Piotr Kowalski, is that how you say that? I never
Peter.
Piotr.
Peter.
Sure. There you go. Yeah, and Sex Number One is...
sexy.
It is sexy. It was a lot sexier than I thought it was going to be, actually.
Yeah, for once, they didn't have to like complain about not living up to the title, because the last third of this book is all sex. This, I really liked, just for the fact that there's so much going on in this. You can literally... Not literally. You have to read this about two or three times, and even then you'll be missing stuff. Apparently, there's already like groups online talking about all the weird stuff going on that people aren't picking up on. Because it's like the characters will... It's one of those perfect where it's like showing without telling. Yeah. So it's not like, oh, greetings, Batman. How's your secret identity of Bruce Wayne going? It's like, hey, Wayne, what's going on? You know, it's like very, or you're like, B, hey, B, how's it going? So there's a lot of stuff like that where the characters are just saying what they would naturally say, which is fortunately is a problem. And then there's like a lot of flashbacks, which are only like really set apart by slight color shifts in the back panels. But basically, there's a guy who seems to be some sort of superhero character.
He was a superhero.
Sort of. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's got a weird edge to him, who has returned to the city, Saturn City, where he's from, after being away for a really long time. And the whole dynamic of the city has shifted among, like, supervillains and different heroes and just what's going on since he's been gone. So it's like him trying to work his way back in while, like, having flashbacks to how things used to be and people he used to know, as well as, like, everyone showing up and trying to deal with him being back on the scene. And, yeah, weird stuff with people. A lot of weird.
Yeah, and he's there's a really weird scene where he's thinking about the death of his mother mixed with a really explicit sex scene.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, weird flashbacks and contrast going on like that.
Yeah, but I think the way Jared described it is fair. They just kind of dump you in the story, but I think that's good. It makes it feel a little more natural.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
I think Casey did a similar thing with Vengeance, the Marvel series that we were talking about, and you know, and a lot of they do that on TV a lot with stuff like The Wire or like David Milch's shows, like what was that, Luck and Deadwood,
right?
But yeah, I'll be curious to see where this goes. The coloring in this book is really great, I should say.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. It's very old school. It seems like reminds me of like Watchmen or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The
a lot
kind of primary brightness.
A lot of flats. A lot of bright colors.
There you go.
Yeah, but it was an interesting first issue. It was definitely very lascivious. So if you're sensitive to that kind of stuff, you might want to avoid it. But also, it's a collector's item. It says so right on the front cover.
Yep,
it's true.
They also did a weird thing where you like would highlight in colors a lot of emphasized words and word balloons, which kind of threw me a lot. Yeah. I don't know what he's trying for that.
I think that was just a stylistic thing.
Yeah.
Because it's all the same words that are also italicized, so it's just it's just for effect.
It's interesting. Like, you don't really see people doing much with word balloons these days.
Yeah. So he does use different colors. So I wonder if that's to sort of intonate like the tone of it or something like that. But at least, you know, trying something different.
Definitely a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff going on. Maybe I should read this again.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna read it probably two more times.
All right, so we got two more books coming up, which is good because this podcast is really long. Up next is Sledgehammer 44 number one by Mike Mignola and John Arcudi, co-written, and then you know, people know who they are, and then art by Jason Latour, who is pretty awesome. He did Loose Ends.
Yep.
And he also did something that else.
He writes Winter Soldier.
Right.
He doesn't draw Winter Soldier.
No, he just took over his writing. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. And I think this one's pretty simple to explain. So basically,
it's an armor that was appeared in Lobster Johnson, the Iron Prometheus. And this is kind of telling the backstory of that armor.
Yeah, which is a thing called Sledgehammer.
Yeah,
and
fights Nazis.
Yeah, it's basically
World War II awesomeness with robots.
The weird thing is, it's kind of like exactly like Atomic Robo, but
it looks like Atomic Robo as well. Yeah. But it's just it's like American forces have this giant armored suit, and it fights also Nazi
even more
robots.
Giant armored Nazis.
Yeah, and it's just kind of about a group of soldiers that are
have to protect
his,
him.
Yeah, they're his backup basically.
Yeah,
and he gets injured, and they have to kind of travel with him and. Figure out what's going on. The weird thing is, this is only a 2-issue series.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Neither.
But I guess that's also been true of some of the Lobster Johnson stuff as well.
But
you know, it's fun. It's really pulpy.
Yeah, very.
And
Spagnola-tastic.
Yeah, it's definitely all surface. There's no subtext in this book. You know,
yeah. Right.
But that being said, it was still enjoyable.
Yeah, it was great.
Really fun.
Cool. And then last book I was gonna say but not least, but I don't know, maybe it is the least, is Wolverine number one. This is written by Paul Cornell, who wrote Captain Britain and MI-13, and he wrote Stormwatch for like 2 issues,
Action Comics,
and he wrote Action Comics for a while, and art by Alan Davis. Never heard of him. No, Alan Davis, of course, drew Excalibur back in the day. Yeah. And tons of other stuff.
So if you don't know who Wolverine is, he's this guy with
if you've ever seen Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
No, never mind.
They talk about Wolverine, maybe. I don't know. I don't watch that show. All right. So this is a new number one, a new Wolverine series. Wolverine is in a lot of comics. And the one thing that this does to differentiate itself from the other Wolverine books is that this is more of Wolverine as like a superhero.
That's a good point.
Where like it felt like you could actually kind of cut and paste any character into this and it would still be like the same comic.
Good point.
It's got a little bit of that Wolverine-ness to it, but I thought it was a pretty fun first issue. It sets up an interesting little plot, but it's nothing mind blowing.
Yeah, I think what you said about being able to cut and paste anybody into this story is definitely true. Which I should say, I thought the story was actually fun. Like the whole idea. Basically, there's like I don't know if fun's the right word considering what's happening
it's
in this.
Terrible.
But there's basically this father and his kid, and the father for some reason has gone completely insane.
Has like a weird alien ray gun.
Yeah, and is like massacring people. Yeah. And so Wolverine comes in to stop him basically, and he gets his flesh melted off a lot and is trying to protect this kid basically.
Yeah.
But like Nick said, it could have been Captain America. It could have been Moon Knight. It could have been Batman. Yeah.
All those people would have died.
That's true.
Could have been Sabretooth if he was in a good mood. Who else?
But yeah, it was a fun story, I guess.
Yeah.
For me, this was just like, I literally was like, this is a Wolverine story.
It was very,
that was it. There was just, it wasn't a great, amazing new Wolverine story. It wasn't a terrible one. It's just a Wolverine story.
And Alan Davis is a guy who's done a lot of fantastic art in the past, but I definitely don't think that this is his best work. It's still fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe not the best book to end on this week with so much good stuff. But you know, it happens. We do them in alphabetical order, so it's bound to happen sometimes. All right. So that's it for episode 75 of the Big Planet Comics podcast.
Wow. That was a special episode.
Woo!
We never do sound effects.
So if you made it this far, don't forget Super Coupon online, which we hinted about earlier.
Indeed.
So rewind and print that out.
Yep, indeed. Do that. And we will see you guys next time.
Later, guys.
See ya.